Hello everyone, Dave Levinsky here from Growth Inc., and I'm really excited today to be able to interview Mark DiPaolo. Mark is a very accomplished entrepreneur who has raised a staggering amount of capital. He actually raised a $70 million Series A financing for his marketing firm, Vantage Media Corp., back in 2007. Vantage Media is one of the fastest growing private companies in California, not to mention in the United States. But Mark is not only an entrepreneur with an impressive track record of raising capital. As president of D3 Ventures, he's also an investor. So based on his background of investing, of growing companies successfully, I thought Mark would be a great person to interview about entrepreneurship and raising capital. So I'm really excited to speak with him today. Mark, thanks again for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Excellent. So, Mark, I'd like to start back at the beginning. Maybe you can tell us about your very first entrepreneurial venture.
Sure. Well, I think your listeners may laugh when I say my first venture was probably at about 5 years old when I bought some bananas, some breakfast cereal, and some milk and opened up Mark's Restaurant in our kitchen and decided to sell my dad breakfast every morning before work.
Did he pay?
The menu I created. He paid. I collected my $2 and got rich quick from a five-year-old's point of view. And
that's awesome.
And at some early point, I think I realized that the entrepreneurial life was for me, and mm-hmm. working for, as I call it, the man, probably wasn't for me. And I continued with a number of small ventures after that. The real defining one for me was actually in high school, late middle school, early high school, when I started a voicemail company. And keep in mind, this is in the late 80s. Early 90s, so voicemail wasn't nearly as ubiquitous as it is now.
Right.
I actually started a voicemail dating service in the early 90s with my voicemail company, despite the fact I was 12 and had never been on a date. and that went well as well. Made some money there and eventually sold the business to a customer. And again, it kind of continued pushing me along the entrepreneurial path.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. What in terms of raising capital, was Vantage Media the first time that you raised capital for one of your companies?
Yes, it was. The Mark's Diner and Mark's Restaurant really didn't have much need of capital. My bananas and cereal were financed from previous day's revenues.
Excellent. But for your voicemail company, and it was only up until Vantage Media that you actually required outside capital.
That's right. I've been either lucky enough or smart enough to choose businesses that self-funded, essentially. And it's not because I had money. It was because the businesses just turned revenue early, and I was able to reinvest that revenue back into the business.
That's interesting you say lucky enough, because I know exactly what you're talking about, because the hassle of having to raise capital. But maybe you can talk about that, because you say lucky enough to not have needed capital. What do you consider as the negatives of requiring outside capital?
I think outside capital has its pluses and minuses, and I think any business owner and entrepreneur ought to really think carefully before taking outside capital, because like everything in life, I think there are some strings attached. On the plus side, if you need it, you need it. If the only way you can grow your business is by raising money, then, and you've exhausted the other alternatives like debt or small business association, then you got to go after it. But I think if you go after it, it's key to remember a couple things. First, who you take it from. I think who you take it from is going to be really critical to your ongoing happiness. And after all, isn't that the point of running a business and making money and doing all this, is ultimately to be happier? And I think if mm-hmm. you take it from the wrong source, you can end up making your life less pleasant. So I'd say be thoughtful, or choiceful is a word I sometimes like to use, about who you accept the capital from. And then second, just be sure that, be confident that what you're going to do with it will have the intended result. And I'm sure the folks, the private equity guys or the venture guys that you talk to will help you focus that and also be sure in their diligence.
Got it. What about Vantage Media? How involved were you personally in that capital raise?
Very involved, actually. We ran the company for since I founded it in 2001 till, I was involved until 2008. And around 2005 or so, we determined it was time to do a raise. It was going to be our first raise, and it didn't come from necessity so much as just giving me an opportunity as a founder to take some chips off the table, as investment banks are very fond of saying, as well as to balance my life a little bit better and slow down the 100-hour weeks that I had worked for 5 or 6 years until that point.
Got it. So you were able to actually cash out a little bit when you raised that round?
Yes. One of the nice things about Vantage in particular is we were profitable from day one. And at the time we were going to raise the round, I think we had something like 25 or 30 consecutive profitable quarters behind us. And that certainly helped investors' confidence in the raising of the round.
Got it. And so you guys went out there and you raised $70 million. And in doing so,
the largest Series A in U.S. or Europe in the 2.5 years previous, and perhaps still one of the largest ones.
It's probably remained unbeaten. That's awesome. What, in terms of number of investors, was there a syndicate involved, or was it one main investor?
There were a group of roughly three or four private equity firms that came in and did the deal together.
Got it. And what was the process like? How long did it take you? How many firms did you have to contact? How was the negotiation phase?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think probably some of the folks listening will have had the same experience, or it will be in their futures. But raising capital is a real pain.
Right.
From the time we determined that we were going to do it till the time the money showed up in the bank was probably about 2 years.
2 years.
And we had some false starts. We actually got close a couple times without actually getting across the finish line. And that was exciting and then discouraging. And, the standard emotions that entrepreneurs will face again and again. But once we finally found the right folks, the folks who we ultimately did the deal with, the time from kind of finding them to getting the deal signed and funded was likely about, I'll say, 5 months or 4 months. So once we got the right folks, it happened quite a bit quicker. But it just took some time to find our right audience.
Got it. Were there a lot of no's during the process, or was it mostly just speaking to folks that just you couldn't come to terms with?
For a lot of folks, the valuation we wanted to get was higher than the valuation they believed, or they agreed with the valuation and the deal was just too big for the kind of money that they had available. So there weren't a lot of no's around. The no's, as I say, came from just it wasn't a good fit.
Got it. And do you think you can apply, you're a marketing guy, Vantage Media is a marketing company. Were you able to apply any of those marketing skills to the capital raising process at all?
Yeah, a few of them. The biggest one, I think, is really knowing your product. Vantage was certainly a marketing company. I personally never have thought of myself as a salesperson or a BD person. Vantage kind of started out of my computer nerdiness and my enjoyment of sitting in front of my computer all day and pushing buttons. So to become a salesperson was quite a challenge for me personally. But what made it easy was that I didn't really have to sell much at all. Because I had created the idea of Vantage, and I had created really what the industry that Vantage plays in, which is customer acquisition on a cost per lead basis through search engines. I could go out and make phone calls and really educate people about what we were doing. And it was so interesting to them that they kind of automatically wanted to join. So
right.
I think that is applicable to the fundraising process, in that if you know your industry inside and out, and if you really are either the expert in the industry or one of the top experts in the industry, you know what's going on a day-to-day basis. In fact, you're involved with what's going on a day-to-day basis. I think that will be clear to investors, and I think that will give them a ton of confidence about backing you up and giving them the feeling that whatever you personally are involved in will succeed, because you know you're doing it. And I think that's why people purchased from me at Vantage, certainly not for my sales skills or lack thereof, but just from my deep knowledge of the industry.
Got it. Any other aspects of marketing that helped in terms of the capital raise?
What else? I think really above knowing your business and your industry, I don't have much additional similarities, but that, I guess, the stamina required, perhaps.
Right.
Whether it's marketing or a capital raise, it just takes quite a lot of go-get-it-ness to get your message across, because people don't always want to listen to you. In fact, let me modify that. People pretty much never want to listen to you until
right.
you start saying some really interesting stuff, and then they tune in.
Agreed. Good point. Can you talk about going from, I believe that you were relatively young when you started Vantage Media and growing it, and correct me if I'm wrong, and bringing on some more experienced people. I look at the Vantage management team now, it looks like it's a slightly more gray hair, and I was wondering if that's something did you bring in people with more experience in certain areas, or is that something, maybe talk about how you did as a manager in recruiting and bringing on people with experience?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question, Dave, because I think that is actually one of the things that really made Vantage different early on. And that was, as I built the company, instead of trying to grab competitors or grab employees from competitors or find people who really knew the space well, I instead found about 19 out of my 20 first employees from the Craigslist Help Wanted ads that I
really?
Posted, mainly because they were free to post and I couldn't afford to post in Monster at the time.
Right.
For your listeners who are familiar with Craigslist, I got quite a motley crew of folks that worked with me at the time. Very
right.
few of them had college educations.
Wow.
There were no MBAs, and there was no experience in the internet marketing space, or almost no experience. The really nice thing about this, aside from the fact that I could afford to hire those employees, was
right.
that I could really teach my way of seeing things to the employees, have them really get that, and then begin kind of adding their own creativity to it. And I think that was extremely helpful for a young company, because we innovated a lot, we had a lot of fun. I mean, we joked around that we could start a band because everybody seemed to play a different musical instrument. We had a
right.
number of actually signed artists that were managing search engine work. I mean, it was, as I say, a pretty motley crew. But as we began to grow, what's that?
Mm-hmm. I was saying that's really interesting. Is there any type of values that you looked for when hiring those people, because they didn't have sort of the precise skill sets that you needed for on the job? What did you look for in terms of people?
Creativity. I think that was the big one. Because we were really kind of creating this new space and this new essentially sub-industry that hadn't existed before. I wanted people, A, that I could get along with, but B, that thought creatively, and, you know, once I kind of showed them the way we were doing things now, could say, hey, well, what if you did it this way, or what if we added it that way, or have you considered X? And I think that quality, which I would say all of our early employees shared, really helped Vantage grow and kind of accelerate into the company that it was. And, you know, just to illustrate the power that these early employees had, at a point shortly before we did our fundraise, we had about 35 employees who were pumping out about $40 million in revenue per year. And as I said, almost none of these folks were college educated. Instead, they were just folks who were creative, were really invested in the job, and gave it their heart. And we had good results.
That's awesome.
And okay, let me address your earlier question about the current gray hair, because I think that it's a real natural progression, you know, from us young punks who started the company in 2001, 2002, to today. I think once we got to roughly, I'll call it 40 employees, the revenue numbers as I shared, it was time to start bringing in folks to really bring in grown-ups, as I'll call it, to kind of begin to manage and organize what we had created. We certainly had a lot of great stuff. We had good clients. We had good margins. But in order to grow from, say, $40 million to $100 million, we needed folks who had experience in doing this. And quite frankly, I didn't have experience in doing it, nor did I really have the interest in running a grown-up company. For me, the fun is in the startup and building something new where there's nothing. It's not in starting an HR department and figuring out how we award options and how many, you know, sick days to give people. I get no pressure out of that. So with the deal, we brought in a senior management team, and they've, you know, you can see their face on the website now, and we kept a number of the best performers from early in the company who've actually joined the team, which makes me happy.
Good. Good. So, and so you had no personal issues with, you know, sort of your baby in terms of bringing in outsiders to help run the organization and take over some of the decision making?
I don't know if it's fair to say I had no personal issues. I'll say that it's a difficult stage that I think many entrepreneurs need to go through, in which you know that you are not the right person to get the business to the next level, either because you don't know how or quite simply you just don't want to. But at the same time, it's difficult to watch outsiders come in and do it or try to do it. So that was something I faced. I chose to bring in outside management. When I look at the company now, do I say, gee, I'm glad I did it? You know, it's sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It's kind of an ongoing struggle as an entrepreneur. But one thing I know for sure is I couldn't have continued to work the hours that I was working. And I think my life is better off because I made the decision to bring in a management team to run Vantage.
Got it. That's a great point. What about what have you learned to date? You know, you had a lot of success at an early age. Can you tell us some of the biggest setbacks, mistakes, failures, and what you've learned from them?
I don't know if we have enough time for the setbacks, because there were plenty. When I first came to Los Angeles, it was to work for a strategy consulting company, a big name strategy consulting company. And I thought, you know, I had it made, and this was going to be great, and I'd learn on other people's dime and, you know, figure out how the real business world worked, et cetera. But what actually happened is after about 2 years, the dot-com bust hit, and they laid me off along with a number of the other folks in the office. And I certainly wasn't happy about it back then. But as I look back, that and three or four other major setbacks really set the stage for Vantage. And without them, I definitely would not be in the place where I am today. So after the consulting company setback, I joined an actual startup, which went bust after 6 months. And what I learned from that was, gosh, I probably could have done this better myself. If I was going to work for a company that was going to go out of business in 6 months, it at least should have been my own company. Instead of one where I really didn't have any control over the fate of the company.
Got it. Did you learn anything from that specific experience, from that startup?
You'll laugh if I tell you what I learned. I learned the particular startup was a joint venture of two big public companies that had each put in, I think, $5 million to start the startup. So the idea was it's all the fun of a startup with the backing of two big companies. Until we started not getting along with one of our parent companies, and I was just a lowly analyst there. I had nothing to do with it. And then we sued one of our parent companies for $100 million, and then they shut us down the next day.
that's not a good way. The lesson is don't do that. So you don't want to sue
Your parent company for $100 million if you value being in business. And all joking aside, who does that? I don't think any reasonable entrepreneur would do that. So I think that there's really something to be said about, if you're a smart guy or gal, to just going and doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. So there were a number of other setbacks, the most relevant of which was when I started Vantage, all my sales work was essentially being outsourced to a company up in the Bay Area. And they went and called on all the customers for me. They got orders for leads, which were kind of our currency, and then I filled the orders for leads, which was perfect because, as I mentioned earlier, I got to sit in front of my computer and push buttons and figure out how to optimize things, and I didn't have to pick up the phone or talk to customers or any of the perceived scary things like that. Well, about 6 months went by, and I realized that I wasn't going to be able to do the kind of work I was doing for the leads, the cost per lead rate that I was getting paid, and went to negotiate with the outsourced sales company because they were determining how much I got paid, and they didn't actually share with me how much they were getting paid. And so ended up having a dispute with them over getting a raise for literally it was a nickel or a dime per lead. I mean, it was silly. Later, of course, I found out they were taking 90% margins on what they were paying out to me. But at the time, there was nothing funny about it, and I parted ways with this company 6 months or 8 months after starting Vantage and basically lost all of my customers in the blink of an eye.
Wow.
And 8 months into things, I was starting all over again and had to deal with something extremely scary to me, which was calling customers and pitching them what I do and why they should work with me. I'd never done that before. And I really didn't want to do that. But the alternative was to get on Monster and start looking for another job or to do something I was just really afraid of. And luckily I picked doing what I was afraid of. 6-7 years later, I can say I sold about $150 million of our product in those intervening years from a dead start. Didn't know anyone in the space. Just cold calls. So
that's awesome.
I guess the lesson there is, the bad things almost always happen for a reason, and you can't let them get to you. And B, sometimes it's the things you're most afraid of that really are breakthroughs. Once you get them, get cracking on them, you can make some real progress.
I agree. As a lot of people say that you really have to get out of your comfort zone to really achieve a lot of progress. And you sound like you were very far outside your comfort zone at this point.
I was. I had never really made a cold call before. And now I had to do it or my business was gone.
Got it. Very well. Good for you for persevering and making it work. That's great. Have you ever done any angel investing as well since you've left Vantage full time?
Yeah, I have. I've been selective about it. Mm-hmm. When I first thought about angel investing, I said, "Hey, this is exactly right for me. I'll get exposure to lots of interesting business plans, which I did, interesting people, which I did, and kind of the state of the art of internet and marketing space, which is where my main interests lie." And that was all true. The thing that I didn't think about was that one of the things I love most is operations and really making things work and kind of seeing how things work on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, short of sitting in management meetings with folks you invest with, that's not really the role of an angel investor, nor is it the role of even a board member. So I've not spent a lot of time doing angel investing, but a few standout companies that have come my way I have participated in, and they understand that they're going to get their share of operational advice from me, like it or not, on an ongoing basis. And luckily, it sounds like they like it so far.
Oh, good. No, that's actually something that I preach as a reason to get angels is to get that operational advice, particularly for younger entrepreneurs, that they can use that because most of it's going to be good advice.
I do my best.
Got it. When you mentioned standout companies, what are the attributes now? Looking at it from the investor side of the table, what are the attributes that you look for in a company?
For me, it's somebody who knows their industry well. You've heard me mention that a few times in our conversation, but has either really created kind of the sub industry, or that I feel like there's almost nobody out there that has a better sense of it than them. Somebody who can back it up, so as they share observations or predictions about how things are going, is comfortable pulling up an Excel model and walking me through it, not having necessarily their CFO who built the model walk through it, who doesn't understand the business, but somebody who both understands the business and can really kind of back up the data behind it. Those are, I think, the biggest general things. And then aside from that, it would just have to be a business that, for me personally, that interests me and that I know something about. So I guess flipping to the other side from the entrepreneur's point of view, you might choose to go after investors who already have kind of a general sense or general interest in what you do versus kind of generic investors.
Got it. What about this? A lot of entrepreneurs have the fear factor or discomfort that, hey, I don't know any angel investors. If somebody was to get to you or come that you've invested in, is it typically somebody that you have a pre-existing relationship with or that's referred by somebody that you're close with? How does that work?
In both cases, I've made two angel investments in the last 6 months, and in both cases, they were folks who were referred to me. So I felt immediately that because there was already a connection there, it was worth listening to their message. And don't take that the wrong way. There are plenty of deals that have been referred to me that I have had no interest in. But that said, it's still, I think, a great pre-qualifier to be personally referred in. And I think it certainly gets investors' attention.
Got it. And what is your, as an investor, what is your timeline horizon? Are you looking for something? Is your expectation that it's going to take 5 to 7 years to possibly cash out? Are you looking? Is your impression that it's going to be shorter?
I'm going to guess that I'm atypical here. I don't have a set thesis around that. I'm really in it for the fun. I'm in it for the feeling of starting something new, the feeling of kind of going against all odds and really creating. I certainly hope to get a return, but I wouldn't be totally truthful if I didn't say my real intent is just to be along for the ride, watch something grow, and have some influence on it.
It's a great point. There's definitely that aspect. I spoke with a lot of angels, and particularly ones that became angels after being entrepreneurs, and it's not all about making huge returns. It's about getting involved, and a lot of them, as you know, you said, the operational thing is they like to get involved, and they like to, you've learned a lot, and you want to be able to impart that knowledge on companies that can use it.
Yes, and I genuinely find entrepreneurship fun. That's why I do it, and that's why I'm getting involved with these companies, because I like the rush of creating.
Excellent. What about you? You set up a foundation. Is that very active, or is that something you do on the side?
It's reasonably active. On the upon the Vantage transaction in 2007, my brother Todd and I set up a family foundation and endowed it with a number of $1 million to go out and really begin to address various social issues that were important to us personally and to our family, and also to kind of give thanks to some of the entities and organizations that helped us get where we were. So, for example, UC Berkeley, where Todd and I both went to school, has been an important recipient, as has the YMCA, where we spent a good portion of our youth.
That's awesome. Have you raised any money for the foundation, or is it only money that you guys put in personally?
It's the money we put in personally. We're not contemplating raising money for the foundation, because our foundation's goal is really to give away money to other 501c3s. So I don't think that would be our plan in the short run.
Excellent. Very, very helpful. Maybe you can answer one more very broad question, which is, what other advice would you give to an entrepreneur who's, brand new to raising capital, or brand new to just starting out and looking to grow a very successful company like Vantage?
Well, I've repeated twice already, and it bears saying a third time, because it is so important to know their space really well. It just is so clear to us on the other side of the table if you know what you're talking about or not. And I don't mean just writing a business plan, but really immersing yourself in the space, talking to other people in this space before you start going to investors and asking for capital. I think that's pretty critical. And then another extremely important and possibly an area I would have done things a little bit differently in my own raise is being thoughtful about the team you put together to get the capital raise done. The team I put together was strong and very qualified, and I interviewed a lot of folks to do it. But I'm not sure in the long run that they were the exact right team from a personality fit for some of the investors that we were looking to talk to. They worked fine with me, but what I didn't think about was what my potential investors would think of them. So I think I had it to do again, I might think more carefully about that aspect of the team I was putting together.
That's a great point. Excellent. Mark, I really appreciate your time and your thoughts. I think that the entrepreneurs and business owners that listen to this are going to get a ton of value from your experiences. And once again, I really thank you and appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you.